What's up, music entrepreneurs?
Hello, hello, everybody. Thank you for joining
us.
What up?
Hopefully everyone's doing good. This episode of the Forward Producer Podcast, we're going to talk about building your brand.
Boom.
And marketing tactics for people in the music industry. And it's going to be a four-part series, so stay tuned for the other ones. You're not going to want to miss. It's going to be a very good episode. That's going to have a lot of information for you all so you can, you know, be more successful in your industry business.
Come on,
and the first one we're going to talk about is understanding your audience. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But before we do, I'm Rome. This is Ray.
Hey, I'm Ray.
Tell them a little bit about yourself, Ray Dog, for those that don't know.
Man, I've been in the music business for a long time. Well, actually, entertainment as a whole, even done some and working on some film and television things, too. So, been in entertainment for 25, 30 years. Along the way, I was able to pick up a few Grammys. I co-wrote songs with the Jonas Brothers and other folks. And, man, it's just been a fun time. Ups and downs, right? Some ups and downs. So we have a lot to share. So I'm excited that you guys are here. Thank you for listening.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm Rome. I've been in the music industry for probably almost 20 years. Doing projects, recording, mastering, mixing, marketing, blah, 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 blah. You know, making money when I'm not trying to make money because stuff is just set up right. So that's a big goal of ours to help you all do that same thing where you're not really just stressed about what you have to do. So we're just trying to put you all on some game to learn what to do because we did the wrong stuff and now we're trying to teach you the right stuff. So how about that?
There you go.
Put you on some game.
Because we've done it wrong so many times.
Yep. Learn from our mistake. Don't pay the dumb tax like we did.
That's right.
So before we get in, Big Ray like that. Before we get in, make sure you go check out our free webinar. It's the 4 secrets to becoming a six-figure music entrepreneur. The link will be somewhere here. Wherever you're consuming this, you'll be able to find it if you look. You want to tell them a little bit about it, Ray?
Yeah, man. So we go through really the 4 secrets that we've learned over the years to really make money as a music entrepreneur. So there are tons of different ways to make money in music business. In fact, I just saw a stat. I think the music industry now is at $17 billion overall. It's called the TAM, the total addressable market. For the music business is now $17 billion. So, man, there are plenty of ways that people are making money. In fact, I was talking to one of the heads of a label a couple of months ago, and they said that entrepreneurship is the future of the music business. So, hey, so getting in there, like figuring out the AI stuff, figuring out how to tour better, figuring out publishing and all these things, like Roman likes to say, if you grab the knowledge, man, there's a lot that you can do in the music business. So we give you 4 secrets to doing that. So you don't want to miss it. It's fantastic. And it's free.
Yep.
So just go.
It's free.
How long is it? About 20 minutes? Yeah, it's about 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
So do yourself a favor. Click on that link below and check it out.
Yeah, go check it out. I mean, I'm living in a time in my life that I'm doing everything that I love to do for work and for income, which is awesome. It's like a dream come true. And I know there's probably some of y'all that are listening that you're trying to get to that place, or maybe you are not even close to that place, but you want to be there. So a lot of what we're talking about is in efforts to help you get there. So if it sounds like you, make sure you go check it out, just like what Ray was talking about. So go check it out. So let's jump into the meat and the potatoes of this podcast. We're talking about building your brand and marketing tactics for people in the music industry. And today is kind of going to be a foundational episode talking about, you know, understanding your audience. Because that's, in my opinion, that's more important than just trying to market to people you don't even know who they are. Because you could be selling shoes to someone that doesn't wear shoes. You know what I mean? So that's the type of thing that we're going to talk about, is defining your audience. So the first one, we're going to talk about identifying and analyzing your target audience. So go ahead, Ray. Talk a little bit about it.
Man, the first thing, and I know this might sound counterintuitive, but first of all, you should figure out who you want as a fan. And I know that sounds nuts, but you can do that with all the analysis, you know, all the things like your music, what you're trying to accomplish, venues that you want to do. Like, you can actually create the perfect fan, at least on paper. Okay, so what I mean by that? So this fan likes, obviously, my type of music, likes my different fashion sense, you know, likes, even if you want to, and we can talk about this later, but the restaurants I go to, like, you can create in your mind the perfect fan that you want to have coming to your shows and listening to your music. And you can do that with all the analysis. So I would highly recommend people thinking twice. So hey, like, and maybe some of you guys are like, I don't care, I just want to, you know, put out music and get as many fans as possible. Well, I mean, not everyone's going to like your music. Not everyone's, quite frankly, will like you. So you have to go out and you determine in your mind who do you want to go after. What type of fan do I want at my shows? What type of fan do I want? So I think that's hugely important.
Yep, I agree. And that's foundational, because we say it all the time. The fans are the lifeblood. Whether you're doing original music, or we even talked about earlier before this podcast, we talked about cover bands. And I'm just thinking, yep, like, if you're able to get in front of some fans that are diehards, they'll most likely draw other people that are potential fans. So I'm thinking in the instance, right, of like this cover band, say you're doing a corporate gig, you're out there, you're performing, you crush it, you kill it, you're doing amazing. There's a bunch of people that knew about you and they're like, oh man, that was another great show. But then you have a handful of people that didn't know about you and you crushed it. And they're like, hey, let me get your information, you know? And
yeah,
from there on, you're just, it's like marketing to the extreme. You know, they're live in person. They saw that you rocked it and they're like, man, maybe I have an event, or maybe my company has something, or somewhere else I would wish you all to come out because y'all did such a good job, you know? And I think along the lines too of like parties and stuff, being a father, yep, I'm going to try to help my kids. I'm not necessarily going to help, but I'm going to try to hook my kids up with some amazing life experiences. So money, at the end of the day, money's not really an issue. I'm going to figure out a way to get it for them and help them have a great experience. So if it's their birthday, you know what I mean? If I think this band is going to blow their socks off, my kids' socks off, I'm going to be like, all right, I'm going to find a way to get this band there one way or another. So money's, right, not going to be a huge thing. And, you know, if you're at an event and you're just going around, you don't expect it, and you find something like that that's in your face, blowing your head off with greatness, and you're like, oh wow, I need to connect with them. You're just, right, building an audience that way. You're finding the right people, you know, and defining it beforehand. Like, you're not, I would venture to say, you're not going to want to be a gangster rap performance performing, right, at a wedding. So you don't want to define a wedding audience if you're that case. But if you're like a Michael Bublé, John Mayer, you know, acoustic style thing, you could probably go crazy on the weddings. You know what I mean? And you just, boom, decide, right, if that's what you want to do, like singer-songwriter, exactly, stuff. So I think it's very important to identify, analyze them, especially, I mean, I've been in the wedding industry for a while too, doing media stuff. So I know like the market changes, and to be on, mm-hmm, top of those changes, following the accounts, getting the news in. Same thing with the music industry. Like, we try to do industry news as often as possible because the industry is adapting, especially with AI. Ray talks a lot about, totally, AI stuff happening. So you have to be able to stay on top of what's happening, what's current, so you can adapt as well. So you don't just don't fall to the wayside and, you know, lose what you love so much.
Right.
So the next one, so that was identifying and analyzing your target audience, you know, foundational. This is what we're talking about. This episode will be foundational stuff. The next one is utilizing market research tools and techniques to gather insights. Kind of like what I ended up saying, but you could talk a little, yep, bit more about it, Ray Dog.
Yeah. So, you know, as far as, you know, different techniques to help you analyze and help you figure out your target audience. One of the things that I've come to learn recently, there's a difference between demographics and psychographics. Okay, so demographics are things like age, city and state where you live, all those types of, you know, gender, all those types of things. Psychographics, they're more around the interest of the person. So, you know, where demographic might be age, a 14-year-old female, psychographic says that this girl shops at the Gap and likes to wear blue. You know what I mean? And then likes this type of music. So, like, I've been learning and trying to run. In fact, you know, the more ads you do and things like that, you start, these questions start popping up. And so I would say definitely a technique is switching over from, yes, you do need the demographic information, but psychographics, like, which is kind of building out people based on their common level of interest. So, like, and it's not just restaurants. It's like, I like Italian restaurants. I like, you know, going to In-N-Out versus, you know, Burger King. You know, it's those types of things. And that helps tremendously, because that can give you ideas of new places to market. And I think that's just critically important for people to start looking at. Hey, I'm just not concerned about people's age and gender, but I want to know where they're shopping. I want to know what kind of coffee they're drinking and why, and, you know, what kind of Chinese restaurant they go to, you know, all that kind of thing. Super important.
I think a very practical way too, like, say you sound like Justin Bieber. You could easily go on to his social media. You could go onto his YouTube page or wherever he performs. Yeah. Other companies will post his stuff. And you could literally see the girls or the guys, whoever it is, out there screaming their guts out, what they look like, potentially what age they are, you know, and you can start making note of that, and you can start doing a little more research. Probably Google will tell you exactly who is Justin Bieber's exact audience. You know what I mean? So you could do the same thing. Say if you're in a rock band, who is AC/DC's target audience now in 2024? Because AC/DC's been around for a while. So stuff like that. Doing research is going to be very valuable, because, like I said, you're not going to want to sell shoes to someone that doesn't even wear shoes. They're a hippie or something, and they don't even wear shoes, you know? Yep. Or you're not going to want to sell hats to someone that will never wear a hat, you know?
And then also, when you find out that they are wearing shoes, are they wearing tennis shoes? Are they wearing flip-flops? Are they wearing, you know, sandals? You know, what actual type of shoe are they wearing?
Mm-hmm. And you could think about, you know, listening environment too. If you're able to put together some music that could be played at a coffee shop, as opposed to being played in a club, as opposed to being played in wherever, you know, you got to find these sort of things, because you could do your research. You could go to these places and figure out exactly what they're looking for, to potentially even say a coffee shop type thing. If your audience is people that go to coffee shops, you could potentially go to a bunch of independent shops. We're here in Austin, so there's a bunch of independent coffee shops, and you could go there, you could listen to music, and you could say, hey, I do music just like this, or hey, I manage a band that does music just like this. What do y'all think about checking them out? And send them a link.
That's it.
There you go. There's more fans right there, you know? So
That's it.
But find out if they like dark coffee or if they like it sugary and creamy. Right, Ray?
Right. Exactly. I like mushroom coffee. That's a new one.
Oh, yeah, it is. Wouldn't that be more like a tea, though?
I don't know.
Who knows? The next one is crafting personas to better understand your fans and potential listeners. This is a good one me and Ray were talking about before. Go ahead, Ray. Talk about it.
Right. So if you've done, like, the first two things that we talked about, identify and analyze, and then use, you know, different market research, you know, and psychographics and all that, what you ought to do is create a persona at this point. And so
I would call it an avatar.
Yeah, avatar. That's another way to look at it.
Younger gaming generation, potentially.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, create an avatar to what your perfect fan is like. Okay, so what does that mean? Okay, so this is a 25-year-old male that went to college but didn't graduate. He likes to wear jeans mostly and T-shirts. He's not a suit and tie guy. you know, like jeans and t-shirts, and his jeans, t-shirts, and then he wears tennis shoes or he wears flip-flops, right? So just kind of going through and creating an avatar that represents your perfect fan, and go crazy, y'all. Like go crazy. Like, you can even do backstories with this guy if you want to. Like, he lives in Chicago. But he grew up in Hawaii. That's why he still wears
flip-flops.
He doesn't like deep dish pizza. He likes pineapple on his pizza because he was from Hawaii and that's what they did. Like, really, ooh. I mean, because the more detailed you get with this avatar, the more precise you can be on all your targeting when you are trying to do targeted ads. And I'm telling you, man, because what you want, the goal is to get your music in front of the right person. And if you can do that, then they will consume your music. Quite frankly, they'll consume whatever you're selling. If you can get it to the right localized and get it to the right person and put your music, boom, right in front of that perfect target audience. So I highly recommend creating an avatar. And go crazy. Like I said, go crazy on the backstory. Go crazy on, hey, he switches girlfriends every 3 months, you know, so you got to watch out for this guy. He's a womanizer. You can just go crazy and really come up with some really cool things and put your music in front of the perfect person that will love your music and consume it.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's along the same lines of like picking your niche. You know, if you're in business and you're trying to decide, am I going to do a pizza place or am I going to do a taco place or whatever?
There you go. You know, right.
Which, in my opinion, if you could decide which one pays the most, that's beneficial to know someone that's going to pay a lot. You could also decide, are they a growing industry or a growing demographic of people? Is the taco industry growing here in Austin? I would say yes. So maybe that might be it. And you could also think like, right. And you could also think, you know, is it something that you're passionate about? Are you able to do it long term and sustainable? So I think the same way with defining your audience, you know, you may want to do a certain type of music, but maybe it might help to reach the exact target audience, that like your exact avatar. It may help if you alter a few things that aren't necessarily make or break in what you're passionate about, but it will reach more people. And I'm also thinking like along the lines, if you try to reach too many people, you're not really going to reach any. So if, like what Ray's talking about, define your key avatar, define what they look like, what their interests are, define as much information as you possibly can and narrow that thing down, because it's, in my opinion, it's a little easier to kind of pull back away from the really pin needle focused avatar and be able to reach a little broader after you already reach your exact, as opposed to cast a net out there to the ocean and you aren't going to catch any fish because the net you casted out there was, the holes were too big and the fish are all little. You know what I mean? So you got to kind of really think through this process, especially foundationally. Maybe you've been in the industry for a while and you're not really seeing the results that you want, and you are finding ways or researching ways to do it, and you happen to find this podcast and we're talking about define your audience. Maybe it's time to redefine, reanalyze,
there you go.
Focus your efforts onto a new thing. If you've been around for a while, you probably have some sort of personal information analytics to help you decide, okay, we put out this piece of content and 17 girls liked it and one dude liked it, but we've been trying to target these dudes because we want them to listen to our music when they work out or whatever. You have that information. Right. You could optimize based off of that and start to develop more and start to narrow in more, or maybe a little wider. You know, if you went too focused, it's not exactly who you want.
Right. I love it.
So that's our 3 points. That's, like we said, it's foundational. Stay tuned the next couple of weeks. We're going to be dropping just a continuation of this series, probably four episodes. But yeah, if they're able to hone this in, Ray Dog, I think it's going to be clutch for them. I wish I knew this stuff starting off.
No question.
So we have a bit, I skipped over our over-under segment, but we're going to tie it into this next part of telling a story. So we're going to do over-under into telling the story. So our over under for today is paid advertising. Over or under, Ray?
It depends, guys. Like, man, I over or under, like, paid advertisement. Okay, dude, I've seen people where it was perfect and it worked great, and then somewhere it wasn't. So, you know, it'd be properly rated or overrated. Right, so that's kind of been my experience. Either it's been properly, in other words, it functions as promised, or overrated, so it's not giving you the results, and people are just spending way too much money for no results. So I would go. It's for me, it's in between there, or maybe I just agree. Don't know what I'm doing on the paid ads. Like Roman, you're really good at paid ads, and you know a lot of people that are good at paid ads. So what do you think?
Yeah, I would agree to what you're saying to some extent. If you think about like Facebook and all these platforms are trying to make it really easy for you to boost your stuff. And what they're really trying to do is just trying to get some money out of your pocket.
Right.
Because they know you don't know what you're doing. And they want to excite you to think, ooh, if they pay a little money, they could get this piece of content out there or whatever, get their message out there. And if it's not set up right, even the back end is crucial. The whole process is crucial. But if you're not setting it up right, it's going to be extremely overrated for you to do that. Because these platforms will take your money like that. As soon as you hit enter on your credit card, they will gladly take your money and not tell you nothing. They'll just put this thing out there. Just as they said, they're just going to boost it. You know what I mean?
So, right.
I think in that sense, if you don't know what you're doing, overrated. If you do know what you're doing and you're trying to figure out what you're doing, it is underrated because it is a huge resource to be able to get out there in front of people.
That's cool.
So, yeah, I slightly agree. But that will lead us into the story, which I think it'll help a lot of people get some clarity. Like we've all probably boosted a post thinking something amazing is going to happen because Facebook decided to pick us out of all millions of people to prompt us to boost this thing or whatever. And you're like, ooh, they picked me. This must be a good post. They must know what they're talking about. Then you put in whatever money you want to put into it. And you didn't really see the results. Mm-hmm. Has that happened to you, Ray? Or people you know?
Sure.
Or even churches probably you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So part of my story is coming up, learning marketing and media and stuff like that. It's part of my business that I do. And finding out that, you know, these social media platforms aren't really putting it out to everyone that follows you. And that's one of the big fluctuations in social media is that they're not really putting out the information to all your followers. It's a very small percent, around 2 to 3 to 5, depending. So they want you to put a little money behind it to try to get in front of people and even new faces. So in my opinion, whenever you set up paid ads, you need to have the process dialed in every aspect, every angle, as much as possible. Because if you leave any stone unturned, it's potential for customers, potential clients, potential audience, potential fans to just leak out. So let's think of the boost post. You think of the boost post thing. You post a snippet of a band that you're managing. And they're rocking it out. Oh, and it's a cool post. You got a couple more likes than you normally do. And then you get a prompt to boost it. Says, yeah, reach 10,000 more people by paying us $50, $100, whatever. You're like, sure. Unless you target who these people are, exactly what we talked about, what Ray and I were talking about, targeting the right people, it's going to put it in front of your grandma. It's going to put it in front of someone that doesn't even like that style of music. It'll put it in front of people that are just utilizing Facebook just to connect with their family, and they see your ad and they just skip over it because they don't even like Facebook, you know? So that's something to think about when it comes to paid ads. You have to know exactly what you're doing. And a lot of people don't know the back end. There's an ads manager, and it's a business account that you have to set up, and you can set up and customize everything. And what I would recommend is you need to have a call to action, which you could do it in your social post too. But you need to have it in your paid ads to say, if you want more information, click the link or check us out here or, you know, give us a follow. You got to tell them that because for the most part, they're just going to be there. Oh, cool. That was awesome. Swipe. So, and that sort of thing, that's what you need. You also need to have a way to send people into these call to action. So if you're like, click the link below and you didn't put a link, what are you doing? You're wasting money. So the knowledge behind learning ads and investing into something that will teach you ads, whether that is a course or a mentorship or just doing the dumb tax and just putting money at it until you try to figure it out, which some people have done. I did to some extent. But, you know, that could be very valuable if you learn how to do it, especially music industry. Like our topic is talking about marketing. That is a key thing. It's very underrated when utilized properly. But a lot of people don't know how to do it. So that wasn't really a story. That's more of a rant, I'd say.
No, that's a good rant to have, though, because, listen, we all are putting money into this, so we need an ROI that makes sense. So we don't want to just put money out there and flush it down the toilet. We want, you know, to get new customers, new fans, all the things that you were talking about. So that's good.
Yeah. Awesome. Like along the same lines you're talking about ROI, it just brought to my mind, like, we are currently running ads to that free webinar in efforts to reach people that we believe we can help get an ROI for whatever they do. So we're running ads to this webinar, and we're also offering something we think is beneficial. If it doesn't fit you, cool. No problem. Keep moving along. If it does fit you and you want more information, we set it up as seamless as we possibly can for you to reach out, for you to connect, for you to learn, and equip yourself in order to get a bigger ROI, because skills and knowledge cannot be taken from you. You know, Facebook ads, TikTok ads, all these platforms can be taken from you, but skills and knowledge cannot, unless for some crazy reason you just decide that it's all fake and you don't want to do it anymore and you forget about it, which that's super rare. But if you're able to learn, you're able to develop the same way, like what we're talking about here at pretty much every one of our podcasts, we develop the skills and knowledge in order to be in the music industry because we love it and we know how to do it and we want to help people do it. No one could take that from us. Like,
that's right.
You could come and comment and say, you guys are big fat liars and blah, blah, blah. That doesn't change the knowledge that we have. We still have it. And choose to use it is up to us. So just something to think about. Skills and knowledge are key.
This was a good one, Roman.
Yeah, we're preaching now. In music industry preaching.
That's right.
Exactly. So just as a reminder, y'all go check out that free webinar and let us know what you think. We think it'll help a lot of people. We're kind of pivoting a little bit away from industry standard productions, but it's still there. If you look around hard enough, you'll find it. So if you don't know what that is, just search for producer industry standard productions. I'm sure it'll pop up somewhere. Yep. But for time being, go check out the webinar, completely free, 4 Secrets to Becoming a Six-Figure Music Entrepreneur. And also, if you could, like, share, comment, subscribe, rate.
Please.
It'll help a lot. If we brought you any value on this podcast or bring you any value, that will be a huge help to us to be able to like, share, comment, subscribe, rate, however you're consuming this. It'll mean a whole lot. So thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Ray.
Thanks, folks,
for being on.
Thank you, Rome.
We'll see. Of course. We will see y'all next time. Peace out.
Peace.